Yes, General. Let's see, I wrote you a letter yesterday. I didn't know you were out touring. I told you I wanted you to take Ms. Eisenhower and get some of your old friends and use Camp David once in a while. Well, I just told them, and you just let us know, so I don't think you'd want to have me listening over your shoulder, but we might both run into each other, and you just let me know when you're coming, and we won't be there, or vice versa. But you can handle 20 up there, and I'll have them all set for you, and they got a nice swimming pool, and they got a nice bowling alley. You know about it, though. But I thought you'd have some old friends you'd like to see while you're around here. General, you're very helpful, and I appreciate it very much. Now, here's our problem. General Westmoreland has made some recommendations that he, in order to hold the bases that he has and to release the South Vietnamese who are now guarding them, he wants 100,000 people in there between now and the first of the year, or as soon as he can get them. He thinks he may need that many more at that time, but he wants to see what effect the monsoon has. We have a communist conference going on in Bucharest, Romania, at the moment. The Chinese and the Russians and the Eastern Europeans are all talking. We have been a little bit fearful that we were driving them a little bit closer together because of the Vietnam. Vietnam calls every time we announce that we're going to do something in South Vietnam. Ho Chi Minh runs to Chu En Lai and Mao Tse Tung and says, look what the Americans are doing. They're going to send 100,000 and 3 billion or 10 billion or whatever it is, and you do the same for us. Then they go to the Russians and they do the same thing. And both of them read what we've said and some speeches that folks have made, including Wayne Morse, and the intelligence indicates that a good many of them out there I think we almost got a Civil War Congress again with all of them telling every day what ought to be done and how to do it, and a good many of them are sympathetic with the communists, they think. Now, they're not, but day before yesterday, Ho Chi Minh said he'd fight on for 20 years if he needed to because he had the support of the world, including a good many Americans. Now, they misinterpret these fool statements. Now, I just finished an hour and a half with Everett Dirksen. He and Mansfield were here. We have reached no conclusions on what action to take on Westmoreland's recommendations. Although the odds are 99-1, you know what they'd be without my telling you. But I called in the Joint Chiefs because I wanted each one of them to evaluate Westmoreland's recommendations. I wanted the Marine man, the Chief of Staff of the Air Force, the Admiral in charge of the Navy, and the General Johnson of the Army. I went around the table, each one of them. We spent 4 hours yesterday. We need this many helicopters, we need this many of this, and the net of it was they all supported unanimously Westmoreland and Taylor's recommendations and the field recommendations. So then the civilian secretaries, they charge McNamara as a computerized the department, and that he is a fair-haired boy and he's a whiz kid, whatever they call him, and that I'm downgrading the military. Now, I don't want to do that because the Congress set them up to advise me. So I had all of them come in. And then this morning I got the secretaries in. I'm supposed to have a meeting with them at 11:45, and I'm running about 5 minutes late, but I'm having them then pass upon the Westmoreland recommendations. In the meantime, while I'm doing that, there's no great emergency for a day or two. We want to get the communists out of session at Bucharest. They're supposed to adjourn this week. Then I told Dirksen and them this morning, that if you just quit Jerry Ford and Mel Laird, Laird is trying to get Ford's job. They're fighting each other on the television every day. Charlie Halleck is, he's trimmed down a little bit and looks fine, and he's the best leader they've had, but they ran over Charlie up there, and these two so-called modern boys are fighting, and Dirksen tells me that he thinks that Charlie is in the wing waiting to come back. What we're going to do is Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, when we reach our conclusions and decide what we ought to recommend, and I think everybody will be together, every Democrat or Republican. I told him yesterday to be sure to get General Goodpaster to review the details with you. I called in John McCloy. I got in Arthur Dean. I have reviewed with them these recommendations. Then I will call in the leaders. The moment I call them in, though, it's going to be in the papers. They will not come down here from Passman on up or down when you tell them how much money you need, but what they go to the papers. And I have tried to get the generals and the admirals and the leaders out there together before I brief them, although I have briefed to Dirksen some. Dirksen is an old war horse, and he's strictly for his country, and he's about the best thing I've got. In other words, Dirksen supports me pretty well, like Rayburn and I supported you on matters that affected the nation.
Well, yeah, and usually, of course, after those meetings, it was said that because I always told you people think whatever statement you make, you think that those decisions were taken here.
That's right.
Thoroughly briefed on.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Now, I wonder if you could just do this one.
Sure.
If you could call Everett.
Sure.
Or have someone call
sure. I'll do that. I know that. I know that. Well, you're doing just what you ought to do, and I appreciate you calling me, and I appreciate their calling you. As long as they're calling you, they're not going to be too erratic. We surely will. Now, we've got authority to call up the reserves, but Ford got into a political thing yesterday. He said, well, you called up the reserves in the Cuban Missile Crisis. You called up the reserves in after Khrushchev's meeting in Vienna. And he said, we never had to call up the reserves in 8 years of Eisenhower. So I think Johnson ought to come down here, and he ought to be questioned why it is that he has to call up the reserves when we didn't have to call them up under Eisenhower. Dirksen is sound and able, and old man Charlie Halleck is, and these boys got a short run, but I'll tell Dirksen to call them and tell them that Mel Laird and Jerry, just not to get excited, that this is going to be a long, drawn-out affair. And I have had more meetings with the leadership in the first 6 months of this year than any president has had with any leadership in the history. And as a matter of fact, the last time we had them in here on the Dominican crisis, Ford was criticizing because we'd had them too often. And I busted up a Republican dinner out here the night I sent the Marines in to, they had a $100 dinner. And he's quarreling about that. Dirksen came over this morning, sat down with me for over an hour, and I told him, now, are you going to be here tomorrow? And he said, well, he'd like to take off tomorrow. I said, well, I'll try to get with you all Monday or Tuesday when we have made up our minds, when we get the communists busted up out there. I don't want to overplay this thing, and I may put them in the 100,000. I may put in 40 at one time and 40 at another and 20 at another so that it doesn't scare the British and scare hell out of everybody else that we're going into a world war. What we're going in with is what every commander says we need to hold what we've got so that they can launch some offensives. We talked this over with you when you were at lunch that day. Well, I'll just sure tell him and tell Everett to tell him, and if you have to talk back to him, you tell him you had a talk, that of course I'm going to talk to all of them before we do anything, if they're going to know every bit of it, and that when they leave here, they can come back on their own motion anytime they want to, and I don't want to keep any secrets. I want all of them in on it with me. Thank you.